Failure is not the only thing to be afraid of. Actually, success is something to be afraid of. How do you process that? How do you process, first of all, being in that space with someone in a moment that they feel like a failure? And how do you see their failure from your lens, which is the
It's a mental game with yourself.
It's here up.
It's here up. So that's what I was going to go to the other day. We was having this conversation, and D said something, and I have this thing when I'm with D, is I'm always taking notes. Like, he says some things that are beyond genius. Like, and you only can catch it in moments. So I try to capture moments, and I go back to it, and, you know, he can write it. I save it for him. And he said something about from the heart up, and I'll let you explain from the heart up and from heart down and how there were two different worlds.
Yeah, this is two different athletes. This is, you know, you look at an athlete standing side by side and they might have the same stats, same height, same width, whatever. But ultimately, this is the difference from your heart up to your mind. It's two different athletes. And for me, this is where the greatest win. Yeah. It's from heart up, right? This down, all this down here, this is all the physical. We all got something special down here. God gifted us with this, and we've, you know, trainers have helped us with this. Yeah. But this, from your heart up to your mind, those are going to be the greatest challenges that you experience as an athlete day in and day out. And we know this because we deal with young athletes. We deal with their minds, which we deal with their hearts, which we deal with, you know. The ones that are strong here, the ones that are fucking tough here, these are the greatest. What they do. And so I was just telling Chris, I was like, you know, it's two different athletes when you look at an athletic body. It's one and then it's two. And everybody don't have two.
That's a really interesting perspective because having, you know, run the sports agency, I signed, I don't know, 200 of the top players and talked to a lot of players. I've never heard that before. And basketball, baseball, football, that's such a but not just what's interesting is it's not just for athletes. I think you could say the same in any field. So it's like, listen, if you have a photographic memory, right, even though physically it might be here, God gifted you with a photographic memory so you can go to med school and remember everything.
Facts.
But do you have it here and here to go be the best surgeon, even though you might have the brain to remember everything? Are you able to control your emotion? Are you able to control your feelings, right? Because that's the difference for all of us. A lot of smart people, right? And there's, as you said, a lot of people that have it from here to here. But it's almost like here being not the brain itself, but here being the mental, the part that we call the soul, almost, right? And the heart, right? Because that's, In the athletic world, it might be here to here. In, you know, the movie world, it might be whatever. Oh, okay, I can think creatively and I can write a great script. But do you have that soul and you have that heart?
Yeah.
And I've never been able. That's like something I'm going to bring forward into all of it. Because I'm like, what? You blew me away when you say that.
Thank you. I mean, it's so much work.
I have a question. Like, how do you teach that? How do you teach the ability how do you teach not to quit? Because when you start, when we all start from babies, you're going to quit. You're going to be tired of doing this, tired of doing that. How do you teach that to that, like you, Chris, you teach it to the young fellas. You've been playing for so long. You've had many failures, but how do you teach that to yourself and to try to teach that to others, how to get past that?
I think it goes back to the mental endurance, right? So as you keep putting one foot in front of the other.
And so we say on here, we just put one foot in front of the other. That's our thing is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yep.
And keep putting one foot
in front of the other, and you will build the resilience that you need. And I'll let D give it a different perspective, but I was just talking about that this morning. Today is the middle of the week. It's one of the hardest workouts you're going to face, and I'm looking at him face to face. Today is you versus you. Today, we got to get that endurance. And the way you do it is just keep stacking them. And I call it habit stacking. And it just takes a long time to build because at some point, the real you going to show up. Your representative is going to leave. So one of the young guys kicked something over there. Come here, young fella. Don't do that again. Oh, I didn't mean that. the real you will show up at the wrong time, and it's going to cost you.
Not at all. Oof.
Well, that's, you know, so what's really interesting is there's, for me, I think there's two pieces to that, right? So I grew up, I talk about this a lot here, I grew up with anxiety disease. They didn't know what it was. I was 12 years old, anxiety wasn't a thing. So like, I got sent to a couple different doctors and they like, we don't know what's wrong with them. And eventually they're like, they diagnosed me with extreme anxiety disease. And that actually shockingly prepared me for life, because even though I feel more anxiety than most people, what I had to go through to just become a normal kid and go through the normal workings was put one foot in front of the other just to go to school.
Yeah.
To go play. I was a varsity tennis player just to play tennis. Everything was harder, like just even getting in the car and going there. And that prepared me. So now everything, to me, getting in the car and driving here is as big of a challenge as like, I'm gonna go get on stage in front of 20,000 people. It feels no different to me, which is, it's just as much putting one foot in front of the other. So I got, in some ways, it was a blessing because I had to learn to do it all the time. And I, you know, and then there's the, when you get to be top of the world, when you're sitting on that, they say it's very alone at the top, right? And I don't know, this is, I'd love to hear your perspective on this, but you know, the hardest part about that is you're so scared to fail, not because you're scared to fail, because you failed a lot to get there, but it's in the public eye. You know, everybody's waiting for you to fail. They're predicting it. You know, yeah. They're talking about it. And it's like, listen, we're all human, right? I don't care if you're famous, you're a big businessman, you're a great athlete. We're all just human, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to say stupid shit. Like, I want to meet someone who literally can say to me, I've never said anything stupid, right? Like, or that I wanted to take back.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, like, I mean, I don't know, I've done it in interviews. I've done it in, you know, in business, where you're like, you just say something, you're like, ah, fuck, I wish I didn't say that, or I wish I didn't do that. But like, I did. I'm human. Like, what can I say, right? Like you said, you did it at a press conference. And it's like those moments then get dissected and torn apart, and your mistakes, it's like they expect you to be superhuman. Mm-hmm. You can't make a mistake. And that's a different piece, which is how do you get through that? And the only thing, that's the part that there's very few people that can actually teach you that, because they have to have lived it. And I wish I had someone when I was up there to tell me, you know, here's how to do this. Here's how to handle this. Because it was, you are alone up there. You have all these people.
Yeah.
But it's all on you. All the pressure is on you.
It's funny. We all say that too. About it's like, would you really listen though? Like if you had, you know, I always say that, man, I wish somebody, if you did have somebody to tell you at certain junctures of your life, would you actually listen? Because like right now we're telling, you know, our younger, yeah, you know, our young, you know, princes, certain things, and they're not really listening to it. Like one day they're gonna be like,
one day,
I wish I had someone. No, you did have somebody.
Yeah.
we actually was right here.
It's really funny.
And you won't listen.
You know what's really funny? My parents were in town. You know, they're always like, oh, we told you.
Yeah, right?
I was like, you did?
Yeah, but you ain't, you can't even. So what I love about it is we all have different answers to it. And so let me give you my answer, my way, how I think of it. To be a little different is, I think a lot of times, and I said this before, is we all are conditioned to be afraid of failure,
mm-hmm,
right? Like all of us are afraid of failure. But what I realized in my journey is failure is not the only thing to be afraid of. Actually, success is something to be afraid of. And just a small example, and I talk about this with Zaire all the time, but I've dealt with it myself, but just a small example, just even being in yoga class. If I do a certain move that I've never done before and I push through and I actually do this move, now it's the expectations for me to do this move again. Thanks. So I can't bullshit you no more because you've seen that I can do this move. So now the one that, you know, we stand up, yeah, we grab our shit and I...
And you go all the way out like that.
Every time, I got to do that, even when my hip is a little on my back, because y'all already know I can do that.
I know you can.
So if I'm just standing there holding like this, you're going to be like, he bullshit today.
Yep.
And so sometimes we're afraid of success because success is accountability. And accountability, self-accountability is the hardest thing to do and to have in this world is self-accountability. And so I like to say that as well. So that's the kind of my teachings is, it's not just about the failures, it's about the successes.
You know what's so, what you said is so poignant, which is when I think back, like I started this studio. I came out and said, I'm gonna start a new type of studio. And I got, you know, laughed at. There's the old saying, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win, right? So I got laughed at. Like, you're gonna do what?
You got laughed at a lot, you know? Right? My conversation.
Yeah. It's like,
and he's successful, everybody.
Yeah.
He's been laughed at a lot.
Yeah. So They were like, yeah, okay, good luck, kid. You start a new studio. I think I had $10 to my name. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna rival the big boys. So, you know, then I had my first movie and it was successful. I was like, wow, he actually made this movie. It was really successful. That's so cool. What's next, right? And then I made 2 movies. And then I made 8 movies. And then it was like, okay, and then I went and I created kind of a new way of financing movies and brought big banks in. And that was like, wow, it was like, nobody'd seen that. That was cool. And then it was like, well, that wasn't enough. Now I got to do TV. And then it was like, oh, well, that's not enough because, you know, you'll actually laugh at this story. I'll explain to you how I, not growing up as a huge sports fan, how I ended up owning the second largest sports agency that I started from scratch with one ball player, with Amare. But what I realized was that as soon as you succeed, they expect you to do more. You always have to do more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. and then I believed in myself, I always had to do more or I'd fail. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that was yesterday's success. What's next? And it was like, I never took a moment in that whole period of time to be like, look what I fucking did. Ever. Right? Because it was always what's next. And they expected me to do more. They expected me to build more. It was like, you did $1 billion of revenue. Great. But now you got to make it more profitable. You did 30 movies last year. You got to beat that and do 35, you know, whatever it is. Like, and I put that same expectation on myself and I never took the time to sit back and be like, I mean, I'm in the 1% right now, right. You know?
That's crazy.
And that, you know, who did, Julius Caesar used to have a guy follow him around and he would literally, he paid this guy to just follow him around saying, remember thou art mortal. Literally, spent 24/7, had this guy falling around, just saying, remember, thou art mortal. Mm-hmm. And that was because when you're in a position where you're perceived as successful, whether it was, you know, me at the studio head, you, your level, everybody's telling you yes. Everybody is like kind of kissing your ass. And you don't think you're wrong because no one wants to say no to you. But like, of course you're going to be wrong just as much as when you weren't successful, right? And then all of a sudden,
you got a little success, now you're being wrong.
Yeah. But he had this guy fall around saying, remember that I'm mortal. So he was always reminded, as much as he was Julius Caesar and he was running the free world, literally running the free world, that he was just a mortal and he needed to remind himself of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of wish I had that guy following me around doing the same thing.
That's real. Foresight right there. He had that foresight to recognize that he was mortal and he had to be reminded of that. Like, that's,
you need that mirror. Like, you need a mirror.
Yeah, but that's impressive. Like, that's,
I got a question for you. As someone who was on the other side of other people's failure, right? Like, I have my experiences of my own failure. You on the other side with a camera. How do you process that? How do you process, first of all, being in that space with someone in a moment that they feel like a failure? And how do you see their failure from your lens, which is the other side of the camera?
It's funny. I actually almost feel like Julius Caesar's
person. Remember thou art mortal.
Because I think at that moment, it's interesting because as I capture content and I follow people around, you see them doing godlike things all the time, like you see the praise, you seeing the pandemonium, and that's awesome. And I think seeing those, to be able to see the failures, remind me that they're human, one, and two, remind them that they're human because they see me seeing them as a human. Because I feel like a lot of times with those athletes, they are expected so much of all mm-hmm. the time.
Mm-hmm. By the whole world.
By the world, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think from my perspective, I don't come with that because I'm at that point, it's been washed off. All that's been kind of washed off. And it's like, I might, like you said, like a mirror.
Yeah, at that mirror. Point,
I'm just kind of just sitting there like, all right, what's next? Like, what we here? Like, let's, at that point, it's no, come on. Like it's weird because like the praise is gone. It's more yep. like I'm here. Like I'm here to just, we are here.
We are here.
Well, you're there and you see Dwayne. You don't right. see D Wade.
Exactly. You see. You
From
see
day one though, you right. you do that.
Like when you see the loss, when you see the pain, you see the brokenness, we're here. We are here at that moment. And I think, because when you see a lot of the praise and the pandemonium, almost like a gloss is there.
Right. It is a gloss.
Like, for sure.
Gloss, that's kind of like
someone just waxed the car and made it look all pretty.
Yeah. So you have to have that kind of built-in barrier. It's almost like even subconsciously, and I think a person that sees everything, it's almost like a, like that, that the little
guy on your shoulder.
That sees everything. You're like, I saw that too.
I think, Bob, that's the importance of building a winner's circle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the importance of having a brotherhood.
Yep.
People that you trust mm-hmm. and that will call your ass out, but would also say, bro, you're on point.
Right.
It goes hand in hand. I think that's the big part of what you're talking about with that mirror.
Yeah.
Because we all need it. Every coach need a coach. Every mentor need a mentor.
Right.
And so we're always growing and learning. And when you stop learning, you're done.
Right.
Because you got to grow.
Because at that moment, you feel like, everyone of you in this position has dealt with bull. Can you curse on this?
Oh, yeah,
of course.
So you can't wait. Course, let me just tell you, you can't say fuck, shit, bullshit, asshole,
motherfucker,
douchebag, cocksucker. You can't say any of those things on this show.
But you know it's in the world, everyone has bullshit in you.
Right.
You deal with people bullshit
for sure
all the time. Either you talk about it, or you call it out, or you don't call it out, but it's there. In my position, if I bring it there, if I'm here, you know whatever I'm saying is not bullshit.
Yes.
Right.
I'm gonna be here tomorrow. I'm gonna be here tomorrow after that. I'm gonna be on the good up, I'm gonna be here on the down. So it's one of those things where you can be vulnerable too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, like I remember this, like even as I've seen so much with you, but if you have a chance to be normal. Like I tell some people all the time, a lot of my dopest conversations we've had not without a camera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're just hanging out, right?
It's just because you know the space is there for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know the space. And a lot of times when we see what we call our heroes in whatever division that they're in, they can't be normal. It's hard for them because I can't be vulnerable. I can't.